I was with my mentor one time, high in the Andes. We came to a village at about 12,000 feet altitude where it hadn't rained for many, many months, and the high mountain lagoons were beginning to dry. And they came to my mentor and said, please call the rains, call the rains. And he went into a hut and he prayed and meditated and fasted for 4 days. And on the fourth day, he stepped out and I asked him, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to pray rain. He was always teasing me, so every chance that I had to return some of the fun, I would. And I said to him, you mean you're going to pray for rain? And he said to me, no, I'm going to pray rain. And he went to the edge of the mountain, overlooking the valley below and the jungle, and came back 4 hours later. And the sky were thick with clouds, dense, big thunderheads, and the rains broke out. And everybody was out dancing in the village, and they came to him and they said, you made it rain, thank you. And he said, no, it rained. It rained. And he was as surprised as anyone else was that it had rained. And I learned two great lessons that day. The first one was that he went out to pray rain, not to pray for rain, because that implies that you're praying to someone for someone. He went and prayed rain. And when he came back and the rains arrived, he said, it rained. Not I made it rain, it rained. He had taken himself out of the equation. There was no longer a kisser and a kissed. There was only the kiss. There was no longer a prayer and a being prayed to. There was only the rain. And this is what our task today is. Today we have to pray peace, to become peace. When I work with a client and healing occurs, I'm the first one to be amazed by it. I go, ah, she healed. There's no doer. There's no longer a doer, and there's no doing necessary. I remember early in my journeys working with a young medicine men and women, filming them, taking video documentaries. And they were very dramatic, very beautiful, working with their altars and with feathers and rattles and smoke and fire. And then watching the old people heal, the old men and the old women. And they would simply raise their finger and point it at someone. And I was behind the camera going, there has to be more. What's next? And that was it. That was it. They had mastered non-doing to the degree that all they had to do was to lift their hand and point their finger. And one of them said to me once, you know, when you get really, really good, you don't even need to lift your finger. Healing happens. There's no doer. So my mentor taught me to get out of the way, open sacred space, keep my mouth shut, and get out of the way. And of course, the getting out of the way is the realizing that there's only the way. There's nothing that is not the way. Because the minute that we even entertain that there's an I that needs to be gotten out of the way, we are in the way, and the way is no longer happening. In this chakra, we understand that all there is the way, that all there is the kiss, that it rained, that I walk, I practice, I live peace. I've come to the realization that we must discover the shaman within. I teach my students that no amount of traveling with the Indians will bring you to your own wisdom and power. I found that it frequently achieves exactly the opposite, distracting us from a true encounter with spirit. The shaman is a self-realized person. She discovers the ways of spirit through her inner awakening. My mentor would remind me that the Buddha was not a Buddhist, that Christ was not a Christian. One sat under a banyan tree until he gained illumination, and the other went into the desert for 40 days. In the sixth chakra, we experience our own awakening. We shed the ponchos, the robes, the rattles, the feathers, and all of the exterior markings of the shaman. And it is the shaman within that matters.